Now, the main reason I'm telling this maise is because of Mashiach, as you'll see in the maise. Now, this is Sefer Daniel. Everybody heard of Sefer Daniel? It's one of the 24 Sfarim of the Tanakh, of the Torah Shebiksav. It's a Sefer of the written Torah, just like Tehillim is written down, just like Chumash is written down, just like Nevi'im is written down. Sefer Yehoshua and Malachim and Shmuel, Sefer Daniel is a Sefer of the Tanakh and Megillas Esther. These are Torah Shebiksav. But there's a gewaldige part about Mashiach. Now this is happening, Kinelach, in the time, the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. And even before the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, already came into Eretz Yisrael. How many boys know that they came to Yerushalayim 3 years before they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? They made a circle around Yerushalayim. When did they do that? When did they come to Yerushalayim? Asara Batavis, right? Eh? Who knows, they came already. And it took 3 years to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, this is a time before, right before the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar also captured a whole group of Jewish boys and he took them to Babel. Now, the king of the time, his name was Yehoiakim, Melech Yehuda, Yehoiakim. Yeah. And they took this big group of Jewish boys to Babel as prisoners. And the kavanah of Nebuchadnezzar was that he wants to have new servants and new officers from these boys. Why? Because he heard Jewish boys were very smart. And his officers were not so smart. He asked them for a piece of chicken, they bring them a piece of fish. He asked for a drink of orange juice, they bring them tomato juice. I mean, they can't get things straight. How can a king run a palace with a kingdom if the officers don't have enough cup to remember what the king says? He says he has to get new officers and new servants. So he says Jewish boys, he heard, are very smart, and he'll bring the Jewish boys to Babel, and he is going to feed them the best, most delicious food from the king's own kitchen that nobody gets to eat, only the royal family. And he's going to give them to drink the best wines and the best drinks of the kingdom. And he's going to make them very, very strong and very, very good. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar cannot think too much past the body. He says, how can I get these boys ready to be my servants? I'm going to make their body very strong. Because Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know too much about a neshama. He knows about a body. And so, Kinelach, they brought the boys to Babel, and they start feeding them this delicious food. It's called pasbag. Pasbag. Of course, it was some kind of a tray for food. Now, most of the boys, since they were taken away from their families as prisoners, and they were young boys, and they were so mixed up, they started eating this pasbag. And when they gave them the drinks and the wine from the royal kitchen, they started drinking this wine. But there were four boys that refused to drink the wine and refused to eat the pasbag and all the delicious things, even though there were such delicious things. And their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four boys were the smartest and most from boys, from all the boys, and they got together and they said, look, we're Jews. It doesn't matter that we're in Babel, we were taken prisoner away from Eretz Yisrael. We are not going to listen to the king Nebuchadnezzar, what he tells us to do. We only have one king, and that's it. Who's the king? Hashem. And the Torah says, our king says, keep kosher. We're going to keep kosher. Our Torah says, do not drink wine from the Goyim. It's called Yain Nesach. We're not going to drink it. And so, They're not eating the pasbag, and they're not drinking the wine. Now the officer that was in charge of the boys, giving them the food, he comes over to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He says, you have to eat. Well, we're not eating. It's not kosher. What do you mean it's not kosher? Well, you know, the Torah says, we don't eat food that's not kosher. But you have to eat. Why do we have to eat? We don't have to eat, so we're not going to eat. And the officer says like this, look, I know you boys are taken away from your homes. I feel bad for you. This officer was not exactly a big rasha. But he says, I have a command from the king that I must give you to eat, and I have to take care of you. Now, if you refuse to eat, and you're going to get sick or skinny, or you're not going to look good, and the king is going to find out you're not eating, well, I don't know if you're going to get in trouble, but I know who's going to get in trouble. You know who's going to get in trouble? Me, the officer says. The officer's going to get in trouble. Nebuchadnezzar is going to chop off my head because he's going to blame me that you're not eating. So you must eat because I have a command from the king. And if you don't eat, I'm going to be in big trouble. Now Daniel was the main one over here, the main smart boy. And he was very clever, very smart. And he says to the officer, because he saw the officer is not really, you know, he's not really terrible. He just has to do his job. He's afraid of the king. He says, look, the king says you have to give us to eat, right? And the king says you have to make us strong and healthy. So you just can give us seeds and kosher things, like, you know, raw seeds and raw things, like raw fruit, and we'll drink water. And anything that's just, you know, raw and kosher, that grows from the ground, nothing that was from your ovens or from your pots and pans, it's all treif. And you just give us 10 days like a test. And we're going to just, you know, eat kosher things for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, you see if we're not going to be just as strong and healthy as the other boys. And then you'll see if we are, you can just go on letting us eat what we want. And you're not going to get in trouble because the king won't even know. Because he doesn't come and wash his feet. And the officer of the food says, okay. Now, Kinalach, 10 days go by. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are only eating just raw things and raw seeds, like, you know, like sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, and drinking water and eating raw carrots or apples, just fruit, nuts, these kind of things. And after 10 days, the officer of the food looks at Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he looks at the other boys, and he sees that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah look even healthier and even better than the other boys. They were even stronger, and they were even healthier and better looking. Their faces shone, their eyes looked better, they looked stronger. And so he goes on letting them eat what they want and drink what they want. And of course, those boys kept on doing Torah mitzvahs, learning whatever they could, and davening and putting on their tefillin, if they were old enough to put on tefillin. I don't know exactly how old they were, but they were keeping close to Hashem. The other boys doesn't seem like they were. This goes on for 3 years. And then the plan was, Nebuchadnezzar, after 3 years, is going to bring all the boys to him, and he's going to give them questions to see if they can answer the questions, how smart they are, how good they look after eating the pasbag and drinking the king's wine for 3 years. And then he's going to choose for himself the new officers from these boys. And he's going to probably get rid of the old officers who always got mixed up and didn't do their jobs right. He's going to fire them, and they probably have to get a new job and go work in the gas station. And the new boys are going to be the officers. So after 3 years, Kinalach, the king starts bringing these boys, asking them questions, and the old officers and the smart men, they want to see if these young Jewish boys are really so smart as everybody says. And some of them were very smart, some of them were not that smart. The king was very pleased. Then it came to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he starts asking them a question after question, and he looks at them and he sees that they're very smart. and they're answering the questions even better than the officers, even the biggest officers that the king had. And he made Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah his officers. He chose them to be officers. Now, around this time, Kinelach, this is when Nebuchadnezzar went and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. In other words, some Jews were taken to Babel even before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And there was already a galus of many Yidden even before that. Not only the boys, there were mommies and tatis and whole families taken to Babel. In fact, the richest families and the nobility were taken to Babel even before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And now Nebuchadnezzar destroys the Beis HaMikdash. 2 years later, now this is why the main reason I want to tell you this, Maisa. 2 years after Nebuchadnezzar destroys the Beis HaMikdash, he has a dream. Now, the problem was, that night when he was sleeping, he had a dream. A very, very strange, powerful dream. And when he woke up, he knew that he had a dream, but he couldn't remember it. Did you ever have that feeling? Sometimes you wake up, you know you had a dream, but you just can't remember it. Now the fact is that every night everybody dreams a lot of dreams. Most of them you don't remember. Because they say that if you would not dream at night, you would wake up just as tired as when you went to sleep. For some reason, the dream part is the part that makes you feel better in the morning and have koyach. That's where you get your real rest, is in a dream. So if you wake up in the morning and you feel your koyach come back, it means you had dreams that night. If you wouldn't have any dreams, you wake up just like you went to sleep, tired. Most of the dreams you forget. Sometimes you remember a dream. Now Nebuchadnezzar knew that he had a dream. Not only stam a dream, it was a very big, special dream, but he couldn't remember the dream. And he starts getting very upset. He has to remember that dream. He wants to remember that dream. Now, I told you once before, remember Pari had a dream, right? Pari remembered it. And he had to get it figured out. What is that dream? He must know what the dream means. He knew the dream, he just didn't know what it means. Now, who remembers? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? So what if he finds out the dream or not? It's just the nose. Is it just the mishigas that he wants to know what his dream is?
It could be that it's important.
Why should it be important?
Because when a king has a dream, sometimes it's important.
Okay, he's saying very good. You're saying perfect. Kinalach, we learn also in Torah and Chassidus. Is the king a person for himself, or a king, the whole thing of a king, is for the people? In other words, can you remember the king of Stoim? When his people were taken away, he sat there and cried. He felt very bad. In fact, he wanted to give Avram Avinu all of the money and all of the things. All he wanted back was his people. Why did he want back his people more than all of his money and his things? Why was it more important for him to have the people back of Stoim? He was even ready to give up all the millions of dollars of silver and gold.
Then the king won't have a job. Because when he has people, he has a job.
Exactly. Ein melech b'loy om. There's no such thing as a king without people. You can't have a king just over his furniture in his palace, or even over his servants. You have to have people. Right? Now, Nebuchadnezzar and Paroi, as big Rishoyim as they were great kings. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar and also Paroi, they knew that whatever happens to a king is not only happening to the king, it's something that's negea to the whole kingdom. Whatever happens to the king is something that's important for the whole kingdom. Now, lahavdil by a tzaddik, we know whatever happens to a tzaddik is something that's happening to the whole Jewish people. Because the tzaddik, the Moshe Rabbeinu of the time, he is the king. He's like the melech of the Yidden. Whatever happens to him is not just a thing what happened to one person. It's happening to everybody. Who knows about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that whatever happens to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is something that's happening to every Yid. And that's why it's important to study about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Who ever learned about that? Avram went down to Mitzrayim. It means that every Yid, there's something in his life going down to Mitzrayim, right? All of the things. That's why they're called the Avos. Now, Lahavdil, the Machanetzar, also he knows this great thing about a king. If he had a dream, he's got to find it out because it's important for his whole kingdom. And if he's going to be a real king, he must find it out. And that's why Pare also went so strongly to get his dream figured out. But Nebuchadnezzar has a special problem. He doesn't even know what the dream is. And he wakes up and he goes around the palace screaming to his officers and his generals and his smart men and his magicians and all of his chachamim. He says, get together in a big meeting. It's an emergency meeting. Everybody get together. Wake up. I don't know if they came in the pajamas. They had time to get dressed, but they all come to the big meeting. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I had a dream last night. And everybody has to figure out what the dream means. And so one of the big officers says to Nebuchadnezzar, we'll be glad to do that, king. Tell us the dream, please. He says, I forgot the dream. I don't know the dream. How can we tell you what it means if we don't know the dream? He says, that's your problem. You have to find out the dream also. And they start scratching their head. How can we find out his dream? What should we do? Look in his head and try to find it? I mean, it flew out already. He woke up already. Where is the dream anyway? He says, that's your problem. I give you till tonight, and you have to find out what the dream is and what it means, and if not, I'm going to cut you all up into pieces, and I'm going to cut your families up into pieces, and I'm going to smash down your houses and take everything out. And these officers start to shake and cry and get up scared and upset. Hey, what are we going to do? Now, if the king says something like that, he's not just faking, he's going to do it. Nebuchadnezzar was not a faker man. I mean, he was a big, strong, powerful king. You know how powerful he was? If he told a bird in the sky to stop flying, the bird stopped flying. He had a power even over the animals. A regular king rides on a horse or an elephant. You know what Nebuchadnezzar rides? A lion. A wild lion. Did you ever see a person riding a wild lion? Maybe in a circus. And it's a trained lion. He took a wild lion. He could go to the jungle and tell a lion, come here, I want to ride on you, and he's going to ride the lion. This is the power that Nebuchadnezzar has. He was a very powerful king. And so if he starts screaming that he's going to do that to the officers, he's going to do that. So they start going around thinking, what should we do? What are we going to do? Why can't they run away? Because Nebuchadnezzar is so powerful, he's going to catch them. Because he conquered the world. Nebuchadnezzar, when he's sleeping, doesn't work. It's not exactly so easy to run away from Nebuchadnezzar. And probably he had officers that already surrounded them that they can't run away. He probably, if you can think of that, he could probably also think of that. And then one of the big officers said to Nebuchadnezzar, he says, King, there used to be a way to find out things like this that nobody else knew. It would be impossible to find out from any kind of a person. And the only way to find out was a certain way. But unfortunately, this way is no longer in the world. Nebuchadnezzar says, what way was that? Well, there used to be a place in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, called the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash was a Kohen Gadol. And he wore special clothes. And one of the things he wore was the Choshen, with 12 special jewels. And on the jewels were carved out letters. And the letters were the names of the Shvatim, and there were some other names there, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yosef was written as Yehosef. Different letters, the way they were written on the Choshen. It was carved out by the worm, Shamir worm, in a very special way. And inside were the Urim v'Tumim. And on the Urim v'Tumim was written a name of Hashem that had 72 letters. Now, if somebody had a question that was impossible to figure out and nobody would know, only Hashem would know, they used to go in back of the Kohen Gadol and they would whisper the question. And the Kohen Gadol would look down on the Choshen, and there were two opinions exactly how this happened. One opinion was that whatever the answer was, the letters of the answer would stick out. That means, Kinelach, that usually letters of a stone that are carved in are inside of the stone. These letters would, by miracle, pop out. Okay? Let's say they asked a yes or no question. Should we go to war? Now, nobody knows the answer if you're going to win a war or not, only Hashem. And let's say the answer was yes. Cain, Chaf Nun. A Chaf would pop out and a Nun would pop out, and that would be the letter, the word Cain, yes.
Yes, you're making noise.
Let's say the answer was no, they should not go to war, they'll lose. So a Lamed and an Aleph would stick out, Loi. Another way was possibly that the letters would light up. The main thing was that the Kohen Gadol would be able to tell the answer by Ruach HaKodesh from Hashem through the Choshen. And Nebuchadnezzar says, so let's go to Yerushalayim, to the base of Mikdash, to the Kohen Gadol, and ask the question and find out. They said, King, King, you're still in your bathrobe and your pajamas. You're still in your pajamas, you're still upset, you're still asleep. Don't you know what happened to the base of Mikdash? It was destroyed. It was knocked out. And there's no more Kohen Gadol. There's no more Beis HaMikdash. The Yerushalayim is destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar says, who did such a thing? They said, King, you did. I did? Wait a minute. When we made a meeting about what to do, who told me to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Oh, you did. You officers did. The officers said, yes, King, go and knock down the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, now I'm more upset than before. It was you that made me destroy the Beis HaMikdash. If it was so good, why you made me destroy it? Why you told me we should destroy it? If it was so good, I'll cut you up into little tiny pieces now. I'm going to cut you into more pieces than I was going to cut before. I'm so upset at you. And so, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were also officers, they found out about what's going to happen. And Kinelach, Daniel came to Nebuchadnezzar and he asked him, he says, King, now the king liked Daniel and he knew he was very smart. He says, King, it's in the power of Hashem, who's our God, it's in the power of Hashem to figure out a dream. And even though you forgot your dream, so all the things in the world, even dreams, come from Hashem. Give me a little extra time. I'm going to daven to Hashem and ask Him to help, because that's the only way. Just give an extra night until the morning. Instead of killing everybody tonight, like you said, just give the night and give me until the morning. I'm going to daven to Hashem. And Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, Daniel, I'm going to give you extra time. That night, Kinelach, Daniel davened to Hashem, and he told Hashem, of course, please Hashem, for everybody's sake, please help. And after davening with so much kavanah, Daniel went to sleep, and that night he had a dream, and Hashem gave him in his mind exactly the dream of Nebuchadnezzar that Nebuchadnezzar had the night before. And in the morning, he goes to Nebuchadnezzar and he says, King, I have very, very important things to tell you. I davened to Hashem last night and I had a dream last night and I think that the king will be interested to hear in the dream that I had. And Nebuchadnezzar says to Daniel, please tell me the dream. He says, he explains to the king like this. He says, look, whatever a person thinks about in the daytime, this is what you're going to dream about at night. Especially a thing that was very deep in your mind in the day, you're wondering about, you're thinking about, this can become the things that you dream at night. Now, by the way, a tzaddik, you know, it's very interesting, a tzaddik, where is a tzaddik, what is a tzaddik thinking about and living with during the day? Learning Torah. Do you know what happens at night to a real tzaddik? Certain things, let's say, in the daytime, a tzaddik could not figure out. He was learning, he was looking up, he was asking, he's looking at the different svarim. He cannot figure it out. He goes to sleep with questions at night that bother him in the Torah, that he's really living with. Many times in the dreams at night, a tzaddik will have dreams, that in these dreams will come malachim. They will tell the answers to the dreams. And in the morning, the first thing he wakes up, he says, Moedi ani lefanecha. He thinks about what's in his mind. Of course, the first thing is think about Hashem. So you say, Moedi ani lefanecha. And then all of a sudden he says, oi, I have the answers to my questions. In other words, even at night, a tzaddik is learning Torah. He's thinking so much about it, he goes to sleep with the answer, with the question. He wakes up in the morning with the answer. Now, by other people, they might be thinking about some other things. So what they go to sleep with at night in their head, that's what they dream about. So Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, king, you're always thinking about being a king. How great a king you are. How greater you could be. Or maybe there's going to be somebody coming along that's going to take away the kingdom from you. So you're worried about that. So since the king is always thinking about being a king and he's worried about somebody taking it away, or maybe somebody else will be a greater king or a richer king or more powerful, this is the kind of a thing that the king is thinking about. And this is the dream. In the dream, there's a very scary looking kind of a statue, like a big figure of like a scary man, a statue kind of a man. The head is made out of gold. And the chest and the arms are made out of silver. The stomach and the legs were made out of brass. The knees were made out of metal, iron, regular metal. And the feet, the toes on the feet, were made out of two kinds of things, metal and clay. Should we say that again? Because it's very important to understand. Okay? This is what it is. There's a scary looking big like statue. The head is made out of gold. The chest and the arms are made out of silver. The stomach and the legs were made out of brass. The knees are made out of metal, iron, just regular metal. And the feet are made out of two things. The toes are made out of two things. Some toes are metal, and some toes are clay. Then, in the dream, there's a mountain. Out of the mountain, by itself, comes out a rock. The rock, all of a sudden, starts flying through the sky, and it smashes into the feet of this big statue, and it smashes the feet to pieces. The whole statue gets smashed into pieces, and it falls down into little pieces. And then a wind blows, and all of these pieces blow away until there's not one little piece left from the gigantic big statue. Then all of a sudden the mountain starts to grow until the mountain fills the whole world. It's so big it fills the whole world. And that is the dream. Kinelach, as soon as Daniel finished telling the dream, Nebuchadnezzar starts jumping up and down, screaming and shouting and laughing. He says, this is the dream exactly. This is my dream. Perfect. Exactly. It must be that Daniel is a god. He himself is a Getchke. Quick, bring Karbonis. We're going to make Karbonis to Daniel. We're going to make him to a god. He figured out, he knows what the dream is. And he got so excited. Everybody, all the officers, they're all listening. Start davening to Daniel. He's a new god in Babel. Daniel says, forget it. Don't bring me Karbonis. Don't daven to me. All I'm doing is telling you over what I dreamt last night because I davened to Hashem that he should help. Everything comes from Hashem. And I still have to tell the king what it means. And Daniel explained to Nebuchadnezzar that the head of gold is the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, a very high kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was a very great king. Of course, he was a very big Rasha, but he was a very great, powerful king. Even the birdies and the animals had to listen to Nebuchadnezzar. He told the birdie, stop flying, the birdie would fall down and stop flying. And what did he ride when he rode somewhere? Not a horse and not a donkey. He rode on a lion.